This is Tanya Lynn with the Sistership Circle podcast. From spirituality, sexuality, and sisterhood to business, relationships, contribution, and creativity, the Sistership Circle podcast introduces a new model of feminine leadership where women get real and vulnerable about it all. Tune in for authentic advice that will empower you to be bold, beautiful, and brilliant as your true self. Hello and welcome to the Sistership Circle podcast. I am Tanya Lynn, the founder of Sistership Circle, and I absolutely love having these real and authentic conversations with women leaders who are really about making a difference in the world to empower you to be bold, beautiful, and brilliant as yourself. So today I am so excited because I am interviewing a longtime friend and just a soul sister, someone who right before this call, we were talking about what are we going to share on this call? And we just feel this synergy with each other. We feel like there's just so many overlaps and so many places where we just really share the same vision for women around the world. And so without any further ado, I'm going to introduce you to the amazing Tracy Trottenberg. And let me just read her bio because it just tells us so much about who she is as such a powerful leader in the world and just so committed to her work. So Tracy Trottenberg has spoke to, trained, and coached tens of thousands of corporate leaders, teams, entrepreneurs, women in business, speakers, and authors internationally. With over 22 years in corporate and as an entrepreneur, Tracy has shared the stage with Les Brown, Marianne Williamson, Lisa Nichols, and was chosen out of thousands as a top 10 semi-finalist in North America's Next Greatest Speaker competition. Tracy teaches the inner and outer game of speaking and leadership and guides women in business to access their true power, passion, and purpose, to share their message and establish their presence, whether in a boardroom, out networking, with their staff, or speaking from any stage in a way that demonstrates their leadership and preserves their femininity. She's taught thousands of women in business how to step into the authentic voice and own any stage. She's the author of Strength of Feminine Leadership, 7 Secret Strategies for Success, and the upcoming book, which I think is out. We'll find out. It is live. Faces of the New Feminine Leadership. Tracy has appeared in the Wall Street Journal, Huffington Post, iVillage, and other media. She's the founder of Amazing Women International, Inc., lives in Los Angeles, and shares life and the stage with her husband and fellow speaker, author, producer, and cancer survivor, George Peter Kansas, delivering live event experiences for entrepreneurs, speakers, coaches, authors, and corporate executives. Oh, wow. I'm just so inspired and so excited. So welcome, Tracy. I'm so excited to have you here with me.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Thanks, Tanya. I'm so happy to be here. Yeah. And I also have to say that we share such a deep soul sister connection. And there are so many women doing really beautiful things in the world and on the planet. And you in particular happen to be, from the first moment we met, which was, I don't know, like 6 or 7, I don't know, years ago already, we just had that immediate synergy. So I love you. I love the amazing work that you're doing. And I love being here with you. So thanks.
Thank you. Yeah. And we're just both so committed to feminine leadership. And so, there's this connection between leadership, women's leadership, feminine leadership, and circle and sisterhood, and there's this thread of finding and using our voice. And I think this is the place where you and I really, really connect, is this, like, how do women really tap into and speak their truth? Just open up that channel to be able to speak their voice out loud. And so let's start that there, because that's what you're so passionate about. And why is it so important for women to use their voices right now on the planet?
I believe that, and I know that you share this too, I really believe that the world is starving like starving for more feminine voices and more. I'm going to make a really big distinction between women's voices and feminine voices in a moment. But more women who are courageous enough to share what's in their heart, what's in your heart and who you're really about, and then to bring your head in to follow. And you mentioned before Faces of the New Feminine Leadership, and that book is out, and it's, and I speak about that in there quite a bit, is that really now more than ever, it's time. And I believe that the hunger is for women like us who feel called, who feel passionate, who feel like I've lived through some things and I'm here to share some things. And it doesn't matter if you know how, it doesn't matter if you know what, it doesn't matter. And I think that's a big distinction for me in the work that we do, is that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how clear or not clear. It's about knowing that there's something inside that you're called to do and that you're willing no matter what to do it. In our work, we call it the choiceless choice. Like you can't help it. You got to do it. And as a woman right now, and I don't want to get into too much of a political conversation, although I could tell you every day that I'm approached by people to share my opinions. But I think as a woman right now, we have to do the inner work. We have to do the inner work and then marry that with the outer work to be able to bring forward a real voice that is soft and strong. And that is vulnerable and messy and magnificent and serves our audience, whether it's an audience of one. This is not just for somebody who, like what we do and what I'm about, it's not just about speaking on a stage. We believe that everything is a stage. When you're sitting at the dining room table, when you go to a coffee shop, when you're at a networking event, when you're shooting a video, when you go to the bathroom, you know, like who knows? But that it's really time for us to have the tools and have the support and have the sisterhood and have the ways to share what's real, not what fits into a mold or a system or a cookie cutter, anything. Share what's real and know how to make sure that it serves our people, whether it's one or 1,001.
Mm. I love that. You know, I mean, there's so many women who are so afraid to speak up, right? And they're afraid of that messiness and that vulnerability that you're speaking about. And I'm actually right before we were going to have this conversation, I'm writing about being seen and being heard in, you know, the shame that comes up. And so, you know, as someone who has coached so many women, how do you overcome that shame? How do you start to find that vulnerable place and be able to speak? What I love that you said, it's that magnificence, like to actually find the magnificence in that. So what are some of the things that you teach women?
I love that you just brought up the conversation about being seen and shame, because the fact is it's terrifying to be visible. And, and I mean, you know me, but I'll share this. Like, I'm very passionate about this. So people talk about, oh, just go shoot a video or go get out on stage or go do this. And like, seriously? No, no, it's scary. And there's a whole bunch of shame or fear or what if. There's so much that's going on with that. So first of all, I honestly believe that not everybody needs to speak at all times. So there is a point in this process where I believe being quiet and going within and doing some work to really find out who you are and what is that, what is the ego? What is that little girl who's terrified or who's been hurt or, you know, fill in the blank, whatever your version is. And then what's the part, what's your soul? What is your soul really saying? What is it that you are really called to share? And doing the work of peeling the layers, because what we really believe and what we teach is that if you want to know who your ideal target is. You know, everybody talks about what's your niche and who's your target and all that stuff. You really want to know who it is. It's you. It's a version of you. Like, my ideal woman is me. And it might look a million times different. She might have lived different details, but at the heart and soul are the same. So actually, the more I know me, the more I know her. And so that courage to go in and find out, well, what is that shame or what is that fear? And then really, and this is something that we really spend so much time teaching and we're so passionate about, is then what's the link? So if I'm feeling shame, where is she feeling shame? Where are you feeling shame? If I'm afraid to be seen for this, where are you feeling that? And I believe that you don't need to be sitting on the mountaintop to really serve somebody. You need to be a few steps ahead and far enough along to manage yourself. And that doesn't mean become inauthentic. That doesn't mean to bury it, much the opposite, to learn how to manage, to be with your emotions and to be, you know, like not like gushing blood, but you have the stitches and it's okay if the stitches are still healing, you know, like, or you're a little itchy, like you're still connected to it. So emotion might come up, fear might come up, and speak about that, anybody that you're speaking to who might be feeling the same thing. See what I'm saying? So it's like when you know why you feel that shame, you know where it comes from. And I don't believe that you push it aside and you just get over it. I think that that's sometimes very cruel. I think that what it is that you get to know it and you bring that magnificence. You bring, if there's a little girl that's afraid or has been terrorized or abused, then there has to be a grown, loving, compassionate woman that could come forward and say, it's okay, I love you, you're safe. We can do this. And then that's where the magnificence becomes authentic, not, you know, syrupy or spiritual. In our world, we call it spiritual saran wrap, not like that, but where it's really just connected to the pain and the possibility. Because if you're feeling it, everybody's feeling it. So I think that the magnificence comes when we really learn to love each other, but to love each part of ourselves and to make peace with that enough. I think it's a lifetime process, but to make peace enough to be able to share it in a way that serves others. And from that place, then being seen becomes more about being of service and feeling more connected than, oh, I need to be seen. I need to be more visible. Like, no, I don't think that's true always. I think it's better sometimes to stay quiet until you've done the work to really be meaningful in your impact. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. And I love that, you know, being seen to be of service. And so I'd love to hear about your own, you've spoken at so many events and corporate, you know, and you've had just so many experiences on stage, and you know, obviously this is coming from your own experience of moving through any of your own shame and your own vulnerability. And so do you have a story of something that you moved through personally or something that you shared or an experience that where you were able to connect that pain with possibility for people and it really landed with your audience? Do you have an example?
Yeah, that's an awesome question. The first thing that comes to my mind is that I grew up in a home that was verbally and emotionally abusive. And when I was young, I was depending on what I would do, and I never knew what I would do. Like, I was told you could do 10 things, 9 things right and 1 thing wrong, and I'll always catch you do the 1 thing you do wrong. And when I did that 1 thing and I didn't know what it was, I didn't know what it would be, I wasn't spoken to for long periods of time. So I was ignored. And I grew up with the silent treatment. And it wasn't until I was much older and I did a lot of work that I discovered that was one of the worst forms of emotional abuse. And so when I started speaking and when I was traveling and I was doing all kinds of work and really connecting, especially with women and hearing their pain and feeling how, you know, the present moment issue, like, oh, I'm dealing with this in a relationship or I'm struggling with this money or I'm struggling. It's not the thing. It's not the issue. It goes way back to our childhood. It's how we learned, how we were programmed, how we survived. And I would talk to so many women and I wanted to share what I had been through, but I was so ashamed and I had no idea how to talk about it. So I didn't for a long period of time and I sort of danced around it and kind of said like, oh, I'm just like you, but I would never tell you how I was just like you, you know? And so I find a lot of women struggle with this. I was very afraid to betray my family, you know, and I could feel that's very tender still because I never wanted to be the one who would, you know, you don't air your dirty laundry kind of thing. Like I never wanted to say something that would make everybody look bad. And so I really struggled with that. And what I started to learn was that, and this is very, very spiritual. And this is to me, the heart and soul of everything that I'm about. And what I really believe that it means to be a speaker or a messenger in our world, really to have that message that you need to share and a feminine leader. Cause I believe we're called here at this time. Is that that was my soul's curriculum. That was what I had to learn in my journey to be who I am today. And that everybody played their part. You know, like my dad, God bless him, he did his part really well. And I did my part really well. It devastated me. I mean, it forever impacted and it still comes up. It's still like an onion with layers and layers. A fear of, I just said it to you actually. We were having a team meeting and I was trying to explain something and it felt confusing because there's a little girl inside of me that was so jammed up when I tried to communicate, right? And then not spoken to, that sometimes if I'm trying to explain something, like it just happened, I was trying to explain something and it seemed really confusing. And I was like, I don't understand. It's so clear in my head. How come you don't get it? So loving that little girl inside of me, recognizing that that's my gift and it's also my wound. And so I'm going to keep evolving it over time and over time. And so the shame piece is showered in love. You know, I think that's what I'm trying to say is that in recognizing this is my soul's journey, this is my work in the world. I think for most of us women, the thing that we do in the world, really who we are, comes from the wounds, comes from the need that we see. Because we know as women, we're here to change the world right now. We're here to heal our planet. We have to. And the way we're going to have the greatest impact is to be real about who we are and what we've lived. Because my personal pain, so this is the thing, right, is that my personal pain is global. So what would happen is I didn't want to talk about it. And then I started to find safe ways to talk about it. This is many, many years ago. Like I would say, you know, I grew up in a house where I heard certain messages that made me afraid to speak up because when I spoke up, I would be punished, let's say. And everybody's head would nod, especially women. And then I started to realize, okay, I have to say this. I have to say this because it's not just me. So that also helped with the shame, is to realize it's not just me. It's like the personal is the global. You know what I mean? Like, is this, I know you know what I mean. So
The personal is actually universal. I mean, yeah, you're totally nailing it right now.
You know, right? Yeah. And so, because I know we've talked about this so many times, what personally drives us is, and the passion that we feel and where it comes from, because we know that it's what the planet is serving for. And it's what women all over the world are sorting out and wanting to bring their voice to. So that for me was huge, was really starting to realize, first find the safe ways. Well, first I had to do the inner work, which is always. Number one, there's always inner work. And get to know, like, what was that shame and how did it keep me safe? And what are other ways to keep me safe and love myself so that I could start to use my voice in this way and still be safe and, you know, sort of step by step. And then how do I connect the dots? Because a lot of women are like, I'm just going to share. I'm just going to put myself out there. And it doesn't serve because it's self-serving. And I don't think if that's the case, I really think you're better to not say anything and stay quiet until you learn how to connect the dots so that it really serves your audience. I know that's very bold, but I believe that. So I started to find out ways to share it. And then I would share it and realize how much people needed to know that they weren't alone. And I think that's a big bridge into safety or into healing shame. We're not alone.
I want to, thank you. That was so perfect. And it actually just created a huge connection for me. And what you said there of connect the dots so that it's not self-serving, but serving others is the difference between dumping and sharing vulnerability that's serving. And so, you know, in Circle, we're always talking about this of, you know, as a facilitator, when you're sharing vulnerability and you're talking about, you know, what happened in your life, you don't want to dump on your participants. Otherwise, it's going to feel so heavy. And so how do you not do that? This is exactly it. You're connecting the dots. And so thank you for that. Just step by step of, first, you got to do the inner work, find out what the shame is, how did it keep you safe, then connect the dots and be able to share it in a way that's going to land with whoever's in front of you so people can see that they're not alone. And then continue to reveal more and more of the details of that. You know, as you were saying, it was like, it's about finding those places that are safe to share. And then allow yourself to become bigger and bigger. So beautiful, beautiful process there. I love it. And thank you for your vulnerability and just sharing all of that, because I think I really saw it, and I'm sure that everyone listening could really see and make that connection. So beautiful example.
Thanks, love. Yeah. I love also that, I love that you also just said dump, because I think that that's a big thing that women do. It's like in the name of, I'm just going to get it out. I'm just going to share. And it's not with bad intention. It's just not conscious. It's just not, it needs the work. So I love that you said that, because that's, I think, the difference when people feel like they need a shower, you know, like I just.
Yeah. And the more that we do that, the better we become at the self-processing, and the better that we become at having the self-awareness. That's what I found for myself, is the more that I can start to speak vulnerably and make those connections, connect the dots, the better I become at it, you know? And so it's like, and like you said, it's about those small steps. Start with a smaller, more intimate, safer place. And then as you develop in your and how you can present it, you go to larger stages. It's not like all of a sudden you're going to go speak in front of 1,000 people. So yeah, I think that's a really important piece.
And there's something about opening yourself up to really being used. That's the spiritual piece, is that really saying I'm available to be used and doing the work that we're talking about here. Because is that when the universe, like, absolutely, doors could open and you could be invited and you could be, that the preparation and the capacity to be that with people is exactly, yeah, I love that we're talking about the steps. And the other thing I would say, feedback. And I'm particularly very passionate about believing that it's got to be a certain kind of feedback. It's feedback that, you know, like I think seasoned feedback that can really help you see yourself. Because there are so many ways that especially women, that we risk judging ourselves. And then, and I don't want to go off, but I could say a lot about this. And then sometimes the ways that women try to support each other that actually with all good intentions, like with all good intentions and love, ends up holding somebody back. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important to go through the steps, to connect the dots, and to have ways to just really get some feedback and some reflections to be able to continue to know what really makes an impact versus people's interpretation.
Because then you get stuck in the story of it. That's what I found is, and there becomes this commiserating that happens. And this happens a lot of times in circle, and why I keep feedback closed in circle, because otherwise it's like, it's not serving the woman and being able to transcend the story and to make that connection and to have it be of service. It's like, you just then tend to get into the story of it. I'm trying to think of an example. Do you have an example of that at all? Where women could really get like what negative, like not feedback that's not serving would look like?
I actually have two. Quickly, because you just said about the wound sharing, I think that this is so important, that to become aware of how you share yourself and how this is key, right? How you share yourself and your story so that you're not sharing the wound, like you said earlier, how to share that magnificence, but rather you're sharing the place to connect to go higher. Because what can happen is we'll go, oh, I know, this was really hard for me, and this was real, da-da, and this was held me back, da-da-da. And then before you know it, the vibrational frequency, the whole conversation, is taking on a lower vibration. It's just heavy, heavy, heavy. And then that's the residual feeling. Rather than how do you take it higher? How do you take it higher? How do you keep taking it higher? So that everybody's growing and expanding. That's number one, because women, we are wired from, you know, age little, like to complain and to share wounds. That's how we connect. Same thing when you see women that go to a networking event or something, or meet up or get together in a group, and everybody's talking about how busy they are. Who cares? We're all busy. That's it. We're busy. Like, really? Who cares? You know? So what's the reframe? What's the higher place to take it? What's the opportunity to elevate the consciousness of the conversation? Because when you do that, whether you're leading a circle, whether you're in business, whether you're going to network, when you do that, you will stand out. When you're coming forward with a conversation that connects people, and it's not all woundy, but it connects people, and you take it higher, you stand out. People want to be around you. So that's number one. It's like to really be conscious of, is what I'm sharing moving us forward, or is it keeping us, like, to become super aware? What's the conversation happening right now? And is there a way, and it's fine if it goes down, like, don't worry, it's fine. Just, is there a moment to just wake up and say, what could I say to show, yeah, I had this happen, but now I'm more loving. Now I'm more conscious. Now I'm more willing to be vulnerable, and just keep moving it. The other, does that make sense? Is that?
Oh, yes. That's so perfect. Thank you.
You must see that all the time too. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I know you do. Mm-hmm. The other thing that just pops into my head, it's a quick story of years ago, I was speaking at an event and shared with people the work that we were doing. And I had this woman that walked over. She was so excited. And she said, oh my God, I'm going to do this. I'm so excited. I'm really going to, I'm going to sign up for this program. I'm going to do this. I can't wait. And she said, I don't have everything in place, but is that okay? And I supported her very specifically. And I said, absolutely, do it. This is how we're going to make it work for you. Like, we were really, you know, she was super excited. And then she went over to talk to her friend of hers. And her friend said, oh, I don't think you're ready for that. And it just came out of her mouth lovingly, right? Like, this is how women do. I see this all the time, that they'll say something like, oh, really? Have you? Oh, I don't know. And they don't mean to, but in that moment, she totally second-guessed herself. And then she came over to me and she said, I don't think I'm ready for this. And I said, what are you talking about? We just did this. And she said, well, I talked to so-and-so and they said, I'm not ready. Anyway, and she was really devastated. But her friend told her this, right? So that's the power that we have as women. And so anyway, we had another conversation. She ended up coming, and the story is that actually at the workshop, both women were there. And I very lovingly, delicately, this to me is an example of feminine leadership also. I very lovingly and strongly shared it. I shared it from all angles. I said, this is what happened, da-da-da. And they ended up, you know, weeping in love together and just learning so much, because the woman who said what she said didn't mean to hold her friend back. And the woman who bought into her friend's, who let her friend's idea override her own, didn't mean to abandon herself. But I believe that that's the power that we have as women. So when we share our stories, when we connect and hopefully elevate rather than commiserate, you know, when we do this, we have extraordinary power to move each other and move ourselves forward if we're conscious about that. So,
okay, you're bringing up something so big right now, and you are one of the things I absolutely love about you, and I've seen you on stage, I've seen you coach people live, like on the spot, and you are so good at really taking that higher stand for people and with love and delicacy, calling people out on their bullshit. And what you're speaking to right now of not saying something like, I don't think you're ready for that yet, but lovingly encouraging someone and standing for someone, like, what is it that you are pulling within yourself to be able to stand for someone's greatness despite their own fears and insecurities? I mean, you really take a stand for people. You are brilliant at this. And this is what makes you such a powerful and effective coach. And I know this is something that people struggle with, right? Of like, oh, this person's going to be mad at me and they're not going to be my friend if I speak this truth, you know, or they're going to hate me. You know, there's just so much fear as women that comes up for us around really speaking the truth in that the way that you do. So what would you say to that?
Oh my God. Thank you for saying that, first of all, because I have to say, yeah, I mean, it really, like, if there's one thing that I would, I really appreciate that, because that's true for me. Like, I want that. I love that part of me.
And it's so challenging to do that. And I really want to point that out of how challenging and how you have become really good at that. So yes, yeah, go ahead.
Thank you for that. Because part of the like raw, vulnerable, like kimono as wide open as possible is that's my greatest commitment for myself and others. Like, I work this within myself all the time, and my stand for other people comes from my commitment to, it's that choiceless choice that I said earlier, like my commitment to being who I'm here to be. And fuck, it's not easy, and it's not, I think the amount of compassion that I have for understanding that it's not easy, that's where the gentleness can come in. I have a lot of compassion for the moments where I've had to make choices that have been terrifying. And I would say that there have been a few people who have really stood for me in that way, but probably more that have not. And in those moments, I wish that somebody would have. So I think it's a combination of knowing the moments where somebody stood for me. In our world, we say, like, well, I think other people say it too, like, borrow my faith, borrow my belief if you don't have it, you know, borrow my faith in you if you don't have it in this moment. And I've had a few people in a few moments where that's happened, but more often not. And I wish that I did. So I get it. I get what that moment of choice is. And that's my, you know, this, we call it doing our God work. Like, that's my God work, is to stand in that moment for the highest possibility of what we're here for. And it's so, I really hear you when you say a lot of women struggle with this. And I think that part of it is the work of, you may not like me right now. You may not like me right now. And often I'll say that. I'll say, like, this really may not be comfortable for you. And I get it. And I really do get it. Like, I really get it. But I think to make peace with the fact that if that's the road less traveled, like, people might not like you for taking a stand for them, and you might have to get out of the comfort of how you want to make everybody feel good. And I think that there's a balance. I think you could still make people feel good and call them up. And I think that the struggle comes for so many women with knowing that they're not calling themselves up, or where they're judging themselves, or where they are holding themselves back. And if we don't judge those parts of ourselves as leaders, as feminine leaders, or those or facilitators, or those of us that are called to help and guide others, if we don't judge ourselves in that moment, which is monumental, if we don't judge ourselves, and if we instead bring compassion and recognize that that's part of the process, I believe that we could serve others more and be available to serve others instead of caught up in our own stuff, and really stand for somebody's greatness because we're standing for our own greatness, which doesn't always mean doing the thing. It might just mean not judging yourself in the moment for when you didn't do that thing. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm. I'm feeling just a welling of emotion around this, and just my appreciation for your stand for this, because I'm present to how difficult it is to be held accountable and to hold someone else accountable. And so thank you for doing your God work.
Yeah.
And I mean, we could be going on for hours here, and we don't have much time left. So I wanted to create an opportunity for you to share what you've got coming up. I know a lot of women listening to this are resonating with you and wanting to learn from you and perhaps go to your event. So can you tell us a little bit about what you got going on?
How
women can work with you or play with you, be trained by you?
Yeah. I think that probably what I would say is, and I want to send you somewhere, well, I guess I could give you a couple of links, but, you know, if there's really a call, like, I know that I need this, I would send an email. And I know most people don't do this, but like at Tracy, T-R-A-C-E-Y, at amazingwomen.org. And in the subject line, put, I don't know, whatever you're called to say, I would say is one way to get in touch. And then speakwithsoul.com. Speak with Soul is our live training that's coming up, and it's off the charts. It's really intimate. We don't put a lot of people in there. It's really interactive. It's really an opportunity to get feedback, to get clear on who you're being when you speak and what your message is. And you don't have to have anything, or you could already be a seasoned speaker. We have a way of just knowing who you are and what you need, and it's so specific. And then also, yeah, I think speakwithsoul.com is a great way. We have some free videos, and we have just some additional teaching that you could take advantage of. And then open up the conversation from there. And I think for now that's a good place to go. And amazingwomen.org is our home online. But speakwithsoul.com has some really special things going on.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And in the show notes, there'll be a link to that as well as to Tracy's book. So you can go to the episode and look on the show notes for those links. So thank you so much, Tracy. Is there anything you want to say to close us off and some words of wisdom to complete this conversation?
Yeah, I feel it. I feel the emotion too. Like I feel that there's an energy here that's really yummy and deep. And I love you, Tanya, and I love who you are and your work in the world. And I love that when we get together, we create a space. And I believe that women, for everyone here, I hope that you're feeling it too and letting yourself be stirred inside, because this is what it means to be feminine. In a moment, we know how to put it back together and go out and do what we need to do and say what we need to say, even if we mess it up, like it's fine. But to be able to connect at this deeper, more intimate, more real level is what I believe people are not just starving for, actually ready for. And that the women, if for everybody here listening, there's something that you are uniquely here to say that not Tanya, not I, not Marianne Williamson, not Oprah, not anybody else could say. It's you. So whatever it takes to get your voice, your message, your presence, your feminine leadership out in the world, I'm here, Tanya's here, like we're here because you are needed now. And that's just the truth of this moment. So thank you for being here. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for your beautiful work in the world. I love walking this path with you,
Tanya.
And everybody that's on this. So thanks.
Thank you. Me too. Appreciate you so much, Tracy. And thank you everyone for tuning in, and look for another amazing interview for our next podcast. Thank you.